I would like to call the Planning and Zoning Commission's Board of Adjustments meeting to order at this time. Bob, would you give us the roll call?
Yes, Dave Clementson.
Present.
Tom Gideon.
Present.
Bob Hanselon.
Present.
Mark Weiss.
Present.
David Nelson.
Present.
We have established a quorum. Yes, I would like to welcome you this evening to the November 16th, 2011 Board of Adjustment public hearing being held in order to hear the six appeal applications received concerning the Taney County Planning Commission approval of Division 3 permit number 2011-16 for the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex. The Board of Adjustment hearing process is governed by the provisions of Missouri Revised Statutes, the Taney County Development Guidance Code, and the adopted Board of Adjustment bylaws. Public hearings are held on each appeal, which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission. I would like to, at this time, place the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B. The staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C. And the Board of Adjustment bylaws as Exhibit D for each of the six cases to be heard at this public hearing. A staff report for each appeal request will be read, followed by any questions for staff. If you wish to comment upon any of the six appeal applications, you must sign up at the back of the room, either in support or opposition of the appropriate appeal application. There are two sign-in sheets that have been provided for each of the six cases being heard this evening. There's one sheet for those speaking in support of the appropriate appeal and one sheet for those speaking in opposition of the appeal. Anyone wishing to speak either for or against an appeal case must be sworn in and will be providing sworn testimony. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it is your opportunity to be sworn, to provide sworn testimony, your name will be called by the Board of Adjustment Chairman. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the board. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the board, not to anyone in the audience. All speakers who are not a party to the case shall be limited to 5 minutes. Upon reaching the four-minute mark, a yellow card will be displayed, indicating that you have approximately 1 minute remaining to address the board. Upon the expiration of 5 minutes, a red card will be displayed, indicating that time has expired. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Bob Hanselon, would you read us the governing statutes for the...
The Board of Adjustment shall have the following powers, and it shall be its duty. 1, to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there is an error of law in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of the county zoning regulations. 2, to hear and decide all matters referred to it or which it is required to determine under the zoning regulations adopted by the county commission as herein provided. 3, where by reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape or topography, or other extraordinary or exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property, the strict application of any regulation adopted under sections 64.845 to 64.880 would result in peculiar and exceptional difficulties to or exceptional and demonstrable undue hardship upon the owner of the property as an unreasonable deprivation of use as distinguished from the mere grant of a privilege to authorize upon an appeal relating to the property a variance from the strict application so as to relieve the demonstrable difficulties or hardships, provided the relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantially impairing the intent, purpose, and integrity of the zoning plan as embodied in the zoning regulations and map. In exercising the above powers, the board may reverse or affirm wholly or partly or may modify the order, requirement, decision, or determination appealed from, and may take such order, requirement, decision, or determination as ought to be made, and to that end shall have all the powers of the officer from whom the appeal is taken.
Thank you. Tonight we have six appeals on the docket for us. A little bit of our rules for the board is very somewhat in that each member of the board has the right for their own vote. Each member can also make a motion, or they can second a motion. So the chairman is just as equal as everybody else. I know everybody probably has cell phones. We would like to be sure they're on vibrate or at least off for this time. We will have the presenters on each case present their issues. We will then call for witnesses after I've sworn everybody in for that particular case. And then we will end the public presentation, and the board will go into their own deliberations to consider the verdict that they would like to place. So at this time, we have Paul Voser, 11.1A, and Bob, would you read us the staff report?
Yes. This is case number 2011. Number 1A, the applicant is Paul Vozar. The request, the applicant, Paul Vozar, is seeking to appeal the Planning Commission approval of Division 3 Permit Number 2011-16 for the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex. The subject property is located at 689 High Mountain Drive, Ridgedale, Missouri. It's east of the intersection of Thunderbird Road and U.S. Highway 65. Within the Oliver Township, Sections 8, 9, and 17, Township 21, Range 21. The background and site history on this: the subject property consists of approximately 809 acres, currently containing a single-family residence, and has served as a fully guided deer and elk hunting facility. On February 22, 2011, a notice of violation was sent to Russell Cook from the Missouri Department of Natural Resources concerning land disturbance activities of over 1 acre without a Missouri State operating permit. On February 22, 2011, Taney County Land Disturbance Permit Number 11-01 was obtained for 75 acres of disturbance with a security of $750 per acre, or a $56,250 cash bond being submitted to the Planning Department. The applicant also received a Missouri State operating permit from the Missouri DNR for the 75-acre land disturbance. On July 14, 2011, the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex filed a Taney County land disturbance permit application for 325 acres of disturbance, along with the required stormwater pollution prevention plan. The applicant self-reported to the DNR, indicating that the disturbed area had exceeded the original 75-acre permitted area. On July 28, 2011, a letter of warning was sent from Kevin Hess of the Missouri Department of Natural Resources to the applicant, stating to eliminate the violations of the Missouri Clean Water Law and department regulations. The department requests that the land disturbance activities cease in any areas outside of the boundaries of the permitted 75 acres until a permit is issued covering the extended area. On August 18, 2011, the DNR informed the Planning Department that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers had sent a notice to Russell Cook concerning the unauthorized placement of fill material in two unnamed tributaries to the Turkey Creek without a 404 permit associated with the development of the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex. On August 19, 2011, correspondence was sent from the planning staff to the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex engineer, indicating that prior to issuing the current land grading permit for 325 acres, Taney County will require some assurances that the development has obtained the proper permit through the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The planning office is also requesting the submission of the required erosion and sediment control plan and a $243,750 land disturbance bond prior to the issuance of the 325-acre land disturbance permit. On September 14, 2011, representatives from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex, and the Planning Department met on site in order to discuss the requirements of the 404 permitting process. The Branson Sports Entertainment Complex representatives are currently working directly in conjunction with the Corps in order to obtain the required 404 permit. The developer has not resumed any grading activities on site since prior to the approval of the Division 3 permit by the Taney County Planning Commission. On July 18, 2011, the Taney County Planning Commission approved Division 3 permit number 2011-16, allowing the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex to operate a motor sports facility for automobile, motorcycle, and BMX bike racing, concerts, car or other trade shows, food, retail, commercial, public events, and faith-based and community gatherings. On October 17, 2011, the notarized Division 3 decision of record for this permit, for permit number 2011-16, was signed and filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office. The general description of this, the proposed Branson Motorplex development will be located on a total of approximately 809 acres. The proposed complex, having some technical issues here. The proposed complex will showcase a 3/4 mile asphalt racetrack with seating for 65,000 spectators, with provisions for future expansion. The Branson Sports Entertainment Complex developer has stated that this proposed project will include a 3/4 mile asphalt track suitable for all standards of racing, stadium seating for 65,000 fans, a road course suitable for a variety of types of racing, luxury suites, a hospitality village, media center, concessions concourse with food, beverage, gifts, and other amenities, a welcome plaza with areas for souvenir trailers, corporate displays and entertainment, fan-accessible infield, which will contain garages for the race teams, and technical inspection facilities for the sanctioning bodies, RV and camping facilities for participants and fans, concerts, car shows, trade shows, food, retail, commercial development, public events, and faith-based and community gatherings. In review, the applicant, Paul Vozar, is appealing the Planning Commission's decision to approve Division 3 permit number 2011-16 for the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex, believing that the proposed development project does not meet all the requirements of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. The applicant believes the approval of Division 3 permit 2011-16 will not conserve and protect property and building values as identified as the purpose for the Taney County Development Guidance Code and is contrary to the absolute and relative policies related to Section 11.1.3 of the Development Guidance Code or Land Use Compatibility. The applicant has stated that the Planning Commission decision to approve should also be reversed because of the grading and clearing that has taken place in excess of the permitted grading limits. As part of the Division 3 approval process, this project did receive a positive score of 24 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 87. The relative policies receiving a negative score consisted of off-site nuisances, right-of-way on existing roads, slopes, use compatibility, wildlife habitat and fisheries, building materials, and traffic. The Planning Commission approved Division 3 permit 2011-16 by a vote of 4 in favor and 2 against, with a total of 18 conditions based upon the belief that this proposed development would comply with the absolute and relative policies of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. The conditions which were placed upon this permit in order to mitigate the concerns of the neighboring property owners and also ensure compliance with the absolute and relative policies of the Development Guidance Code. In summary, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this appeal request, the Planning Commission approval of the decision of record for Division 3 Permit 2011-16 shall be reversed and shall be considered null and void. The following requirements shall apply unless reversed by the Board. The Board of Adjustment decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. Thank you so much.
Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you very much. Would Representative for Paul Voser like to come forward? Brian Wade is on the docket first.
I'm the representative for Paul Voser.
All right, would you speak into the microphone there and give us your name and spell it for the records?
Yes, sir. My name is Grant Johnson, spelled G-R-A-N-T-J-O-H-N-S-O-N. I represent Mr. Voser along with the business entities MII Direct LLC and Ozarks Extreme Sports Complex, Inc. My clients asked me to come here to speak very briefly on their behalf. In regards to the petition I have just distributed to each of you that will be filed in the Taney County Circuit Court tomorrow morning. Named as defendants in this petition are, among others, Russell Cook and the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex. The allegations stated therein are breach of confidentiality agreement, conspiracy to breach confidentiality agreement, and violations of the Missouri Uniform Trade Practices Act, Trade Secrets Act. The allegations are pretty self-explanatory.
Pardon me, Mr. Johnson. Are we not talking about this appeal process and not about this petition that is not germane?
Well, Your Honor, I agree it's an ancillary issue, but we did want to bring this to your attention that it will be filed tomorrow morning, and we will be asking the circuit court to, after notice and hearing, to enjoin this project that we're here about today.
So noted.
Thank you.
Mr. Wade.
Thank you, Mr. Clemenson. This is the first opportunity I have to speak, and I wanted to raise an issue for this appellant and also for the other appellants that you will also hear, and it relates to a procedural issue concerning Mr. Jack Johnston. As I understand, when the decision that you're considering was ruled upon by the Planning Commission, Mr. Johnston was identified as a member of this board. Sometime after that decision was reached, Mr. Johnston was no longer on this board. Mr. Weiss was appointed to this board. I have forwarded a letter to Mr. Atchley, which is in your file, which identifies the transcript testimony from Mr. Weiss, who is the new member of the board who just abstained, who spoke in favor of the developer in this case. Because Mr. Weiss cannot sit in this Board of Adjustment review, there is a potential for deadlock. Two votes in favor, two votes against, because there are not five members. Because of that, my client, the appellant, and the other appellants, all the appellants, are prejudiced by that. And because of that and the appearance of the impropriety, I'd ask that this board adjourn until a substitute member is appointed so that all five members can hear and decide these appeals.
For the record, the knowledge that this has happened came to my attention this past Monday. Mr. Johnston has served this board well in the past. He was at our last meeting, which was in October, and that was all of the doings of the county commission, who has the authority to dismiss and appoint commissioners. I presume some of the board members did not know that until they got here tonight, because as a board, we operate under the Sunshine Law. We do not communicate with each other or converse with each other on any matter until we sit down here. We have individually gone out and gone through the property and the surrounding neighborhoods individually, but not as a group. Is Mr. Cotty here? Mr. Cotty has been our appointed legal counsel. I understand the issue, Mr. Wade, and you are right that a favorable vote of three is required, so two negatives or two positives would fail one way or the other based upon that. I would confer with the board members as to his request. Mr. Cotty, would you have any advice for the board at this time? All right, thank you. We will entertain a motion from the board to either take Mr. Wade's suggestion and postpone this until a later time that we have a full voting board, if that's possible. However, that puts a lot of emphasis on the commission, who actually has appointed me. So I'm not sure that that request can be granted without the county commission saying yes, they will replace Mr. Weiss or not. I'm kind of caught in 22 here. I would say that the cases that we have before us, most of them contain some element that each other case has involved in their appeal. Rather than just having one appeal, we have to vote individually on each appeal at the end of each testimony. So that's going to happen five or six times if we get to that point. I have no objections personally to postponing the meeting if the county commission can help us comply with your request, Mr. Wade. Any other thoughts from the board members?
Now, I don't want to act as legal counsel or give any type of legal advice, but it's my understanding per the bylaws, we've established a quorum. So we do have the ability to move forward, and it requires that there be a vote of three members. But I think it's at the discretion of the board as to how we move forward.
Thank you.
What's the concurrence?
we've had to function with four members before.
Correct. We've had to function with four before. All right. We will proceed then with hearing the cases tonight. Is Mr. Roser here or his representative that present his side?
We've already spoken.
All right. Tammy Pasco, would you like to come forward and beg your pardon? All right. Would Anthony Goosran come forward?
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Anthony Gosserand, G-O-S-S-E-R-A-N-D, and I represent Branson Sports and Entertainment Complex. I'll be calling it BSEC through the remainder of the evening. There are a number of people that are signed up to speak in opposition on each one of these appeals, and it's practically identical for each. I wanted to wait to hear the presentation that had been made by each appellant before I will, if it's okay with the board, I'll call each witness to respond to each one of the allegations that are made by each individual appellant, if that's okay with the chairman.
No, I will be the calling.
Okay. Very briefly, I would respectfully suggest that any reference to any lawsuit that's going to be filed tomorrow be stricken from your minds and from the record. It has no relevance to what we're here to talk about tonight. With regard to Mr. Wade's request that the board adjourn, we take the position that the quorum has been established and that sufficient numbers of the board are here and can make decisions on each appeal tonight. It's my understanding that three issues have been raised by the Vozar appeal. Approval will not conserve and protect property values, land use compatibility, and the grading and clearing issue. I'm going to start with the grading and clearing issue, and I'd like to call Spencer Jones.
I'm sorry. You're not in the position to call your own witnesses.
Okay.
Is he listed here?
He is.
Can he not speak for himself?
He can.
My name is Spencer Jones. I'm with Great River Associates. My name, to spell that, it's S-P-E-N-C-E-R, and my last name is Jones, J-O-N-E-S. In regards to the land grading that's occurred on site, I think staff gave an adequate report and on the timeline and the events as they occurred, and I don't know that I would have anything additional to add to that, but would be happy to answer any questions there may be in regards to that.
Any questions from the board? No, we don't.
Okay, thank you. If I could, I would like to speak to the next issue in regards to the appeal in regards to compatibility. And as we look at this development and where it's located with the existing public infrastructure, with Highway 65, the railroad, and the airport, we think that this project is the best location for a project of this type, based upon its connectivity or location with those facilities, as well as the ability to provide public sewer to that site in order to meet the needs of that particular project. From that perspective, we think it meets compatibility. Another issue that I would like to bring up in regards to compatibility is the definition as given by the Taney County Planning and Zoning Guidance Code. It says that compatibility should be evaluated based upon the adjoining properties that are within 1,000 feet of the proposed development. And as we looked, as we did a land area analysis of that property, taking into consideration that anything that was within a residential subdivision would be considered residential, we also said that anything that would be less than 10 acres could also fall under that title of residential. As we look at that mass land area including the development property. We have a ratio of about 15% of that area is residential, and the remaining 85% would be non-residential properties. When we take out the subject property and just look at the adjoining properties around it, using that same philosophy, we get about 25% of those properties that would be residential, with 75% of the remaining properties being non-residential. We think that that helps identify the compatibility and the concerns about the residential aspect versus the adjoining adjacent property uses. So that was the information I wanted to present tonight for as far as compatibility.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Jones, I have a question. Does this mean that you are 75% compatible?
I think what I'm trying to do is identify what the non-compatible uses would be. And I think the concern of the issue is that there's a high number of residential uses that would be adjacent to this property. And I think in trying to quantify that, we developed a way to do that based upon land area. I guess in addition to that, another thing that we did in trying to better understand what the land uses were, we looked at the 911 addresses or where there were physical structures, whether those be residential or non-residential. We found that there were about 60 911 addresses within that 1,000 feet.
But now you just said that 25% were residential, 75% were not. Is that correct?
Yes.
So then, are you 75% compatible and 25% out of compatibility?
I believe that there was a perception that there was a high number of residential areas within that 1,000 foot compatibility buffer around the property. And so what we wanted to do is present some factual information about what those land uses were within that 1,000 feet. And the only way we could do that, because Taney County does not have zoning, as it has land uses, that we've tried to develop a mechanism to quantify.
So we are to ignore the 25% that are residential in our deliberations?
Not at all. Not at all. I just think you need to have the facts as far as how that breaks out, because I think his appeal represents that there would be a higher number of residential impacts versus non-residential impacts.
Oh, so we go majority rules in this case? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not trying to make statistics.
If you're compatible, you're compatible. If you're not, you're not. And if you're infringing on compatibility with residential, how are we to deal with that? Do you have any suggestions to that?
I do, actually. What I would say is that I think that whenever the Planning and Zoning Commission evaluated this case and they looked at the relative policies and they were trying to address anything that they felt did not provide or did not meet their intent of meeting the relative policies, that they incorporated conditions to make sure that it would be compatible with the adjoining land uses. And so those conditions became part of the decision of record in order to make it compatible with their adjoining uses. So I'd say that was the intent of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and I believe they accomplished that.
So then these people are not, and their appeals are not to be considered or merit or what?
I definitely think they should be considered, and I think that that was what the Planning and Zoning staff was doing the commission did when they put the conditions in the decision record. They were taking input from the information presented that night into the decision record to make sure that it did comply with Taney County guidance codes.
Okay, thank you.
I have one more question, please. How many residents is it within 1,000 feet of the proposed site?
What we did is we took that 1,000 foot, we looked at the 911 addresses, and we found that there were 60 911 addresses. Those could be both residential and or commercial or other uses. We couldn't differentiate whether they were residential, commercial, or other uses, but there were 60 911 addresses within that 1,000 foot buffer.
And is there a physical structure on these places?
Typically, that's how they're identified by the structure, so that police, fire, and ambulance can be responsive to those needs.
But you don't know who's residential, who's business?
I don't. There's no way to differentiate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we just put up one more witness on the issue raised that approval will not conserve and protect property values. And we'd like to call on Luann Barter. I'm sorry.
My name is Luann Barter, L-O-A-N-N-B-A-R-T-E-R. I'm a realtor with Carol Jones Realtors, and I would like to speak on behalf of some of the people's concerns about property values. I have heard it said that people are thinking that 50% of their property value is going to be taken away from them with this racetrack coming in. And I have found it to be absolutely the opposite. I think we're going to find that we're going to have a lot more people that are coming into our area because of this. I think it's going to increase property values. I think it's going to change the demographics of the people that come to our area, not only to the lakes, but to Branson. I have a letter here that I'm going to give to you gentlemen, and it is from a gentleman that is a realtor in Kansas, and how their racetrack impacted that area too. But it's they're finding that it has done nothing but bring good businesses, good values to their properties and also to their area.
Documents should be presented to us 10 days before the hearing, but you can leave it with Bonita, but we'll take your word for whatever he says.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Are you Bonita? You are.
Any questions?
Oh, may I say one more thing? Yes. Sorry about that. I have another letter here. It seems that the folks of the Oak Hollow subdivision have contacted Harry Styron, and he's been a lawyer here in our area for a very long time, and I find him very highly respected. I like him a lot, plus that he's a darn good lawyer. I have a letter here from him also, and I'm sorry, I did not realize that you folks needed to have that 5 days beforehand, but he is also saying that he doesn't see that it's going to hurt it, he doesn't see that it's going to help it. If anything, the properties will stay the same value. So I'm going to give that to Ms. Bonita also.
Luann?
Yes?
Have there been any recent sales in the area?
Yes.
Have they been above market value, below market value?
Well, a lot of the people haven't even known that the project is coming, nor that it was approved or disapproved.
So we don't have any track record one way or the other,
that is
whether
correct.
Values are going
right
to go
now.
Up or down?
That's correct.
Okay. Also, since you've read the letter from the gentleman in Kansas, is the area that track is located in similar to Branson?
It's even more residential around that area than we have right here.
Is it an urban or a rural type community?
I would say it's, I don't know. I haven't looked
it's
at it.
It's suburban, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more suburban than we are here. It's more residentially impacted than we have here.
Okay, and large city right around it?
Not a large city, but the gentleman in his letter refers to it as the stepchild.
Okay, how far is it from? This is the track that's just outside of Kansas City?
Correct.
Okay, how far out of Kansas City is that?
I do not know, sir, by mileage.
Okay. About 20-minute drive, something like that? Or, okay.
I have no idea. Never
okay,
been
so
there.
It may or may not be valid to compare that area to our area.
Certainly that is valid what you're saying. Without me personally looking at it, I would hesitate to give you my opinion on it.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, thank you. Gentlemen, one more witness, Mr. Tom Gannon.
Tom Gammon, Branson Sports and Entertainment Complex. It's G-A-M-M-O-N is the last name. First name is Tom. I wanted to briefly address the questions on Wyandotte County and the location of the racetrack there. That was a rural area before the track. In fact, there was quite a bit of farmland converted over to commercial property when that was put in. The growth in that area, there were some residential areas around that track, but the growth in that area was primarily after the track was established. It is on the 635 loop around Kansas City at the 635 and I-70 junction. It is greatly, that development has greatly increased economic development in Wyandotte County. That's all.
Thank you. Just very briefly, Mr. Chairman, the record that was established tonight on behalf of the appellant, no evidence was introduced on any of the three issues that were mentioned in the staff report. The commission has heard evidence and controversy of the appeal made by witnesses for BSEC, and we respectfully suggest that the board deny this appeal. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wade, would you like to cross-examine any of the witnesses?
No, Your Honor. No, Mr. Clemens.
No, all right. Thank you. Are these rest of these people on the list here do not want to speak at this time?
No, the rest of the witnesses, issues were not raised for them to give testimony.
Thank you. Then we'll close the public presentation of the appeal and have the board deliberate on the matter before us. David?
I don't see anything in this appeal that would make me want to approve it, so I'm going to make a motion to deny this appeal based on I don't find any faults in the Taney County's decision, the P&Z.
I'll second the motion.
Motion been made by David Nelson to deny the request, second by Tom Gideon. Would there be any discussion? I'll call for the vote then. David, you made the motion. How would you vote?
To deny the appeal.
Tom?
To deny.
Bob?
To deny.
And the chairman would also vote deny. But we do have a denial on that. Have a denial on the first appeal. The second appeal that we have before us is from Anthony and Nyla Epsi. 11-2A, and Bob, would you give us the staff report?
Yes. One thing I would request is I would like to request on the next five appeals at the board's with the board's permission to give an abbreviated staff report, just because the same information really applies to the first five appeals. This is case number 2011-2A. The applicant is Anthony and Nyla Espy. The applicants Anthony and Nyla Espy are seeking to appeal the Planning Commission approval of Division 3 Permit 2011-16 for the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex. In review, the applicants Anthony and Nyla Espy are appealing the Planning Commission's decision to approve Division 3 Permit 2011-16, once again for the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex, believing that the proposed project is not compatible with the adjacent properties and that the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex has not provided sufficient proof of economic growth. Again, as part of the Division 3 approval process, this project did receive a score of 24 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 87. The relative policies receiving a negative score, again, consist of off-site nuisances, right-of-way on existing roads, slopes, use compatibility, wildlife habitat and fisheries, building materials and traffic. Again, the Planning Commission did approve this permit by a vote of 4 in favor and 2 against, with a total of 18 conditions based upon the belief that this proposed development would comply with the absolute and relative policies of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. The conditions were placed upon this permit in order to mitigate the concerns of the neighboring property owners and also to ensure compliance with the absolute and relative policies of the Development Guidance Code.
Thank you. Would those that would like to speak on this appeal please rise to be sworn in? Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Tony Epsi.
My name is Tony Espy. I live at 511 Fruit Farm Road, Hollister. Last name is spelled E-S-P-E-Y. First, I'd like to present a list of 32 neighbors. Come on. They have agreed for us to represent them also. We are here to appeal the Taney County Planning and Zoning Commission approval of the commercial zoning of the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex in two areas, compatibility and economic growth. Compatibility, under the Department Guidance Codes, land use compatibility. We feel that the planning and zoning did not file the guidance codes. The purpose of the Taney County Development Guidance Codes are to converse the natural resources of the county and to promote the health, safety, convenience, prosperity, and general welfare of its inhabitants, and to conserve and protect property and building values. We feel that the planning and zoning did not follow this definition. Noise pollution is just one of the many problems, but very significant to us. We have given you a letter from Mr. Gary Gillum from Ridgedale, which I hope you had a chance to read, explain how deafening this noise pollution will be. In Mr. Gillum's letter, he made an excellent comparison of a tornado warning siren, which could have about the same acoustic output as this proposed racetrack. Listen to that for 4 hours. The Taney County Planning Commission approved the racetrack and then required a lighting plan showing the location, height, and other specifications of the lights. A traffic impact study should be submitted to the Taney County Road and Bridge Department. A complete landscape and buffering plan showing the location, size, and planting materials of all buffers. These studies and plans should have been submitted and approved before the commission approved the racetrack. Another concern is the decrease in our property value. I had several conversations with a Michelle Post from New Jersey, and she told me about her experiences with New Jersey Motorsports Park, which was built near her house. One thing we talked about, what happened to her property value. Ms. Post and several neighbors filed a lawsuit against the racetrack. They won their case and awarded 20% of their property value. I spoke with a real estate broker from Lakeville, Connecticut. This Mr. Leach has 35 years of real estate experience and has been dealing with a racetrack being built near a residential neighborhood. He stated residential properties declined 20 to 50%. The Planning and Zoning Commission did not follow the Development Guidance Code of Compatibility and the codes to protect the general welfare of its inhabitants and to protect our property values. On economic growth, does the BSEC have a business plan to support all such claims about economic growth? We feel the developer is confused on how many people are going to be working. May 11th, the Springfield newsletters, there was 2,500 jobs. May 18th, the Branson Tri-Lakes, were 2,600 jobs. July 8th, Springfield newsletters, 3,000 jobs. How many jobs are there? During the public hearing of the Planning and Zoning Committee, one of the board members stated that at the peak of the construction of the Branson Landing, there were 450 workers. How many jobs are there to help our economy? It was reported that after the track is built, there will be 20 to 50 employees. Again, this is a big variance in the different articles that I have read. Are these jobs full-time? What is the range of wages? Are there benefits? We never heard of an economic ripple study that has been done. Back in July, at the planning and zoning hearing, the developer was asked for this study, but their answer was, we're working on it. Earlier, I gave you a copy of a letter from the Branson Lodging Association opposing the racetrack. They state in a letter, no information has been presented that positively ties the relationship between the BSEC and the existing Branson market. We have given you photos of our neighborhood, which is all residential, and to give you an idea of our quality of life. Board members, there are 204 homes in this neighborhood that will be directly affected by the racetrack. We were here first. The noise pollution is going to be forced upon us. The lifestyle we have today is in jeopardy. My wife and I are 30-year residents of the Branson area. We moved to Fruit Farm Road 17 years ago for the quiet and natural environment, beautiful Ozark Hills and scenery. We all have invested lots of time and money into our properties and homes. Families have been raised, churches attended, and farmland has been passed down through generations in this area. It would seem that existing housing should override someone coming in and building something that creates an intolerable amount of noise pollution plus a lot of other pollutions that lower our lifestyle and factor in lower property values. Please do not treat us like second-class citizens. We don't deserve it. Once again, racetracks and neighborhoods are not compatible.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Epsi? You can defer. It might be noted that in the process, those requirements for buffing and vegetation all are to be in place before they can proceed. Okay. Once the project was approved, then they can go forward and meet all those obligations. But the Planning and Zoning Commission, office is in charge of that enforcement, and they have to have those things in place before they do proceed. Okay. As I understand, this is going to be a phased project also, so that not all phases are going to be done at the same time. Infrastructure, for example, may or may not be available for the entire project since it has not been reached certain phases.
Does that mean that I was just going by, their compliance, that's where I was getting this information from. In the first compliance, they list a bunch of things there. Were those all approved, all those plans like the traffic and all this, was all that approved before the board voted on them?
No.
Okay.
No, they were not presented.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Wade?
Brian Wade, W-A-D-E. Gentlemen, when I introduced myself to the Planning Commission on July 11th, I reminded the commissioners of the following. 50% of the entire population of Taney County lives within a 10-mile radius of the proposed racetrack. And we've put, I believe, we're going to put up a drawing of a map showing you the proposed location and those significant subdivision locations and also businesses within a 10-mile radius. We also have some exhibits that we've given to Benita, so she can give those to you. And those were identified at the Planning Commission level as well. As you know, the purpose of the Taney County Code is identified near the front of the code, and it provides that you, as the Board of Adjustment and the Planning Commission, have a duty to conserve the natural resources of the county, to ensure efficient expenditure of its funds, to provide for proper location and size of streets, building lines, open spaces, safety, recreation, and three, to conserve and protect property and building values to secure the most economical use of the land, etc. Now, so it is the Planning Commission's duty and this board's duty to protect the existing property owners of Taney County when new development is proposed. Now, this development is not a 10-lot subdivision. It is, as represented by the developer, a 65,000-seat racetrack facility. I see a picture with a proposed road course adjacent to it. Also, it includes retail stores and other amenities. It is a significant proposed project, which has significant impact on the neighbors and businesses that already exist and have been approved and permitted for whatever it is that they do. The key issues, as Mr. Espy eloquently pointed out, are compatibility and those things that go along with a development of this size. And I think that the challenge here, the error committed by the Planning Commission, was in approving the permit with these conditions rather than requiring those items be met by the developer before the permit was issued. And I think the illustration there is found at 11.1.7. You know what the traffic or the traffic improvements are that are required for off-site improvements. The roads have to be built to sustain the development and provide for adequate ingress, egress for the parties that are already there. Now, there was lots of discussion at the Planning Commission level about MoDOT, about whether the developer would have an agreement in place, whether the developer would provide various things related to traffic. In the concept hearing, which you know starts this process, Mr. Cottle told them the following. The interchanges would need to be approved before planning would approve. So the Planning Commission followed the code there. He was telling them what the code said. You've got to have this in place before we're going to give you the permit. Now, before the hearing started, we found out from MoDOT, Chad Zickenfuss said, hey, there's nothing in place with us, with MoDOT. We have no agreement in place. There's lots of discussion about it, but there's no agreement in place and no explanation as to how it's going to be built or how it's going to be done. Now, we move from that to the hearing in July. And I think we have an excerpt from BSCC's representative from that. I've got a yellow card. If you could put up the excerpt. Can you see it? We can't see it. I'll read it. Find it. With regard to Exhibit 6, Mr. Gammon told the Planning Commission, I think we're looking at about 4 more weeks before it's complete. He's referring to the traffic study and economic impact study. And that was represented to be provided to, would be provided to MoDOT. Mr. Gosseran said, this development will not open without those interchanges going in. That would be the new interchanges over Highway 65. Those were the representations made to the Planning Commission. If you could show the slide, Exhibit 8. This is, you'll note, a September 28, 2011 email from MoDOT. And if you'll focus in on the highlighted portion, You can see as of September 28th, they've not received a traffic study, employment numbers, or any other information that would be used. And I'm out of time.
Thank you very much, Brian.
You have any questions?
Questions?
Could you review, just by list, the reports and statements that you think should be completed before anything starts? I've got the require proof of MoDOT and an economic impact statement.
If you look at 11.1.7, it requires as an absolute condition that the roads to provide support to the development be in place, or if you look at Section 12, they can post a letter of credit or some bond or surety guaranteeing their performance. In this case, that would be very difficult to do because the improvements are primarily related to Highway 65. So that would require a developer agreement or some type of understanding with MoDOT and a representative from MoDOT coming to the Planning Commission or this board saying we have an agreement in place to build these interchanges to support what we know will be significant traffic based on the representation. So that's, to me, that's the big one. The other issues are the sound mitigation. There's an adequate presentation on how those sound issues will be mitigated. And if you'll note on the drawing that they brought tonight, there were discussions at the Planning Commission level about how sound would dissipate from the oval track. Well, one, I believe that's speculation. Two, there's been no discussion about the road course, which you can see clearly falls closer to the residential areas and which will have additional car traffic and emit noise. So that hasn't been addressed. We don't think the compatibility issues have been addressed adequately either.
Thank you.
One question. On the population, what is the total population that you came up with for Taney County?
That's a good question, Mr. Clemenson. I don't remember. I'll go back and look in my briefcase.
I'm aghast that 50% live within a 10-mile radius of this track, seeing the track is almost to the Arkansas line. But that's neither here nor there.
Well, that's based on the map that we identified the subdivisions and the city of Branson, of course, yep. And okay. Hollister.
Thank you.
I mean, you can put a 10-mile radius in Taney County and get half the population anywhere you put it. So.
Okay.
Mr. Gossenrud, probably didn't spell it, just pronounce it right, did I?
Gossenrud. I'm going to follow the same type of procedure I did on the first appeal. Rather than having Mr. Jones get back up and testify on compatibility, I would just ask that the board consider his testimony on appeal 211-1A. With regard to the issue of sufficient economic growth, we'd like to ask our witness listed, Elizabeth Link, to testify.
Good evening. Elizabeth Link, E-L-I-Z-A-B-E-T-H, and Link is L-I-N-K. And I'm a consultant, real estate developer. Tom Gammon asked me to join this team because he wanted to maximize the opportunity for job growth for this project. That the track does have its seasonal aspects, but there's a lot of other property. And as we build this interchange, just the first interchange, not the second and third, the opportunity for job growth here is significant. And I just wanted to read into the record, we have prepared a draft of the economic benefit study. We are working with MoDOT and the state on making sure that we dot all of our I's and cross all of our T's to make sure that they agree with the analysis and our methods. From a jobs standpoint, we've kind of divided them up into two categories. One of them is construction and what want to call it seasonal or tourism or jobs that MoDOT and other people in the state don't really care a whole lot about. Now, I care about construction jobs personally because, you know, they matter to me if I'm working on one. But when this project, during its phases, within the county, just people within the county that are going to be working on this project, we have direct jobs of 1,149. Call it 1,100 jobs, construction jobs during this project. In the state, there's an additional 635. So outside of Taney County, because steel might be manufactured somewhere outside of the county, because parts and pieces of what we're doing, there will be jobs outside of the county, not just on the site. There's also indirect jobs, and those are ones that somebody, a contractor here, is working. He has staff coming in. They live at a hotel or stay at a hotel, or they buy, they get their plans printed somewhere. But they're real jobs. They're associated with this project. They're related to this project. Another 170 within the county, 178 within the state. So the total of all that is about 3,000 jobs. 3,086 if you add all those up. Now, the other thing that I think is more important and more important to the state of Missouri are jobs related to not construction, permanent jobs, industrial, manufacturing, other uses that we believe and are actually in negotiations with two separate manufacturing companies to locate here within this project. Direct jobs within the county, 271 is the number that we're showing right now. Within the state, an additional 267. So we're looking at 538 jobs that are directly created, non-tourist, full-time equivalent jobs that will be on this project as the phases are all done. Indirect, another 88 for the county, 328 for the state, and 416 total. So 950 jobs that are non-tourist, non-construction, non-temporary, related to this project. Money-wise, just a couple of bigger numbers that I think matter to people. The school district here, Hollister School District, personal property tax, which is something, you know, I hate paying. We own a car in the state of Missouri and you get to write that check. But the personal property tax that the users of this property will have to pay just to Hollister School District over the course of the next 20 years is $13.5 million. Start off the first year when we're under construction, it'll be about $320,000. But over 20 years, it's 13.5. The community college is going to receive almost $500,000 over that 20 years, just personal property. If I go into the real property tax, school district's going to receive over $110 million from this property over the next 20 years. I think that's a big economic impact. The fire district's going to get $400,000 just from the property taxes. Sales tax is another piece of this. I've got 1 minute left. Okay. The Taney County, on an annual basis, about $1.5 million. Each year in sales tax. The ambulance district will get over $200,000 a year in sales tax. State of Missouri, over $4 million a year in sales tax. Construction impact, there will be taxes on the construction materials on this project, $3.1 million. The ambulance, I already said the 480, state will be getting about $11.7 million in sales tax. As we construct, just the construction. Now, this is a draft economic impact study. It was prepared by folks that are have done studies all throughout the state of Missouri. Many, many different governmental agencies have hired them, and the state has accepted them as...
Pardon me, Liz. Ask a question.
Okay.
Can you give me a time frame on the build out
on the, build
the
out?
First phase, which I presume is the racetrack facility itself?
To be
maybe
honest,
you could elaborate a little bit. But what is the opening or starting date are we talking about?
The first phase won't be the racetrack. Surprisingly, the first phase will be an industrial user because we think that we can get them open for business before the racetrack itself. With luck and the schedule that we have right now in working with MoDOT, we believe that we can open within 2 years the first manufacturing facility. And the second one will open at least within a month or two of that, if not at the same time. So we're looking at about 300,000 square feet of industrial to open up before the track.
And when is the track
scheduled to open? It'll be... Spring 2014, and if we're lucky, we'll get the industrial guys open in the fall of 2013, because this is 11 plus 2, 13. So it's very exciting for me, and that's, you know, why I'm part of this team, is to try to bring in some great jobs to the state of Missouri.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Are we looking at commercial or industrial project? I just manufacturing, and I'm going to apologize.
I'm sorry.
I'm missing some of the sound. I've got an ear infection. But what are we after, and what guidelines fall into place for this project?
A lot of the things, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but from my understanding, a lot of the things that are being spoken of will fall within a future phase.
Correct.
That will come before the Planning and Zoning Commission. At a later date as an additional Division 3 permit.
And that's correct. But the bottom line is that this interchange provides an opportunity for the surrounding area for significant economic growth. And we will be back with additional plans. There is commercial shown on the plan. There's other future development shown on the plan. And all I'm saying is that we are in the process of moving forward with that. And those are the numbers that we're presenting tonight.
But now, as I've heard the people before you, they're talking about compatibility and harmony in the area, and all of a sudden you're saying in the future you're going to come back and zing them with industrial. Am I missing something in this? Straighten me out if you would.
If I can refer you to the drawing that's shown right here, where I'm discussing the industrial uses, the south of the property, it's the pale green, and it's not anywhere near the homeowners. It's getting
so
the, close to Arkansas.
What you're thinking of is the industrial would not fall anywhere near residential at this point.
Closest residential unit would be Mr. Cook.
Okay.
No, the reason why it's prime is because you've got that airport sitting right there next to those residences, and you have the train tracks sitting right there. That's why it's prime for industrial.
Okay, and in 4 years, how many jobs will be in place that are full-time?
I don't have that number for you right now, but I can estimate for you based on the number that we have for the industrial piece. Within the county, the 350 plus or minus jobs, they'll probably be 100 to 150 based on our time frame of what we think and what we're including in the study and the analysis.
And these will be directly related to the track or?
No, as far as the track itself, and the related uses around the track, the commercial uses, it's 11,049. It's a combination, I'm sorry, of construction and the permanent jobs, and I don't have those separated.
Okay. And if these are construction jobs, are they going to be local companies, or are we going to have, like, the bridge with Jensen from Des Moines, Iowa, who's a fantastic company, as is McCannich, and I've had experience with both of them. Mm-hmm. When I lived in Iowa.
And I can't speak for how all this project's going to shake out at the end of the day, but I know that there's an effort by the owner of the property to do everything local that he can. And if there's somebody, you know, if you need a piece of equipment that's only manufactured in Massachusetts or down in Oklahoma, I suspect that's where they'll buy it.
So even under the best of circumstances, we're not sure how much money.
No, when this analysis was put together, sir, it was done based on averages and past history. And with the exception of the two users that we're talking to, which is approximately 300,000 square feet of development, where we know specifically where those employees, how many they are, everything else is based on national averages. And they take into account that some of those construction jobs will be from outside of the state. It takes into account that because we're so close to a boundary of another state, that some of those people will be hired from down there, and that is definitely taken into account in this. So the numbers I'm reading are for the state of Missouri and Taney County.
So
there are other impacts that are farther reaching.
Yeah, and we may not experience in this area as much of an economic boost as you're suggesting.
We try to be. I can tell you that in my past history, I like to underpromise and overperform. And I've never put together an economic benefit study with consultants and work with them where we have overshot the mark. If we tell you this is the numbers, that's the numbers that we deliver.
And when will this study be ready and
available
presented
for the public? That depends a lot on working with the state and their review process. But with luck and, you know, hopefully by the end of this year.
Okay. Thank you.
It may be, you know, January 30th, holidays are coming. I don't know how long that's going to take.
Any questions?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to call John Jekyll to respond to Mr. Espy referred to a report done by Gary Gillum that's been put into the record through an exhibit. And I would ask Mr. Jekyll to respond to that.
Good evening. Thank you. My name is John Jekyll. First name is J-O-H-N. Last name is J-A-E-C-K-E-L. I work for H&TV Corporation. I'm out of their Milwaukee office, which is one of about 30 across the nation. In Mr. Gillum's report, he talked about noise levels that were measured at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway at a set distance, and he extrapolated that out at the inverse square rule of 60 dB per doubling, which is perfectly accurate to a point, and that is that he did not address any of the other normal attenuation factors that would take place between a racetrack and someone's home 1, 2, 3, or 4 miles away. In many communities, the racetracks, the older racetracks, are sitting surrounded by residences and the land's relatively flat. The only mitigation you have between there and 500 feet is one row of homes, and then 1,000 feet there's three rows of homes, etc. Here we have natural terrain. On the property we're looking at, there's a variance between low points and high points of about 300 feet. So we will have natural barriers. Those aren't accounted for in his calculations. We will also have, he did not account for the atmospheric attenuation that takes place just anywhere. He did not account for the fact that Mother Nature, in the terms of whether we have a warm summer day or a cool summer night, or the wind is gradually blowing or it's heavily blowing, whatever it is, what those phenomena are. Basically, recent studies we've done at a mile from a track a little bit larger than this one, the noise level in a residential area was 66 dBA. So where he started was fine. He just did not finish the whole story. Any questions?
How far below elevation are we on the racetrack itself as opposed to the highest point on the property?
Can I get the data? I don't have it memorized. I have it with me.
All right.
The center of the track, or the center of the facility, the race facility, there is geometric center of the track, which would be the infield. The elevation is proposed today at about 1,212 feet. We have, at various locations, we have one residence that is at 1,000 feet. Of course, in between there's hills and valleys. We also have residences at 1,399 feet. So it's all over. It's all over.
I was talking about the center of the track, which is, I understand, below elevation from the grandstand, which is above.
This, at the middle of the infield, where it's 1,219, there are berms around three-quarters of the track that are at 1,270. So that would be 20, 70, 50 feet in the hole.
David, you had a question? No? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
In conclusion, I would like to speak for BSEC. We do not believe that this appeal has been sufficiently proven in the record before this commission. Not sufficient evidence has been indicated to show that the Planning Commission in this case violated any absolute policy as established by the code. The discussions of, for example, 11.1.7 with regard to traffic improvements, as Mr. Atchley's informed the commission, those will be the issues that will be taken up when actual development plans are put in place and taken before the Planning Commission. What is in front of the board tonight is simply the decision of the Planning Commission on land use. And I believe that Mr. Jekyll has sufficiently countered the testimony given by Mr. Gillum in the exhibit that has been produced to you all this evening. For all those reasons, we do not believe sufficient evidence has been introduced before this Board of Adjustment to indicate the Planning Commission made any errors and that this appeal should be denied. Thank you.
Any questions? Any cross-examination?
I have a question. I'm sorry, but I didn't write your name down.
John.
No, the lady.
Of Elizabeth Link.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Would you come to this podium?
I would like to know if the first phase that you mentioned, the 300,000 foot industrial facility, was brought to the Planning Commission's attention at the Planning Commission hearing.
No, it wasn't, because the land use that is in question right now is the track.
What will the use, the industrial use, be?
I'm happy to share. There's two different users that we have letters of intent with. The first one is it's proprietary, so I can't give too much information about it. But they're choosing the state of Missouri because it's a dairy state. I think it's the fourth largest producer of milk. And they chose the location because of the milk, so rest assured that they're doing some sort of processing with milk. And they like the fact that it's near the highway and the train and the planes. So they like this location because they can transport it after they package it. And that's as much as I'm able to tell you right now.
Was there more than that one?
There's the first one. The second one is a manufacturer of a building system, a wall paneling system. It's a green technology, and it is something that when they had the hurricane in down in New Orleans, when Joplin just happened, and people needed to reconstruct quickly, this is a kind of a prefab tinker toy kind of a system, but the benefit of it is that it can withstand significant winds so that you can take it into places like Florida, New Orleans here, and reconstruct buildings very, very quickly. Again, the transportation system, the infrastructure that's already here in place at this site is what makes it great, because these panels can be constructed and put on trains and shipped very, very rapidly down. The only thing this site doesn't have is water. We can't barge it, but you know, we can get to St. Louis and put it on the Mississippi.
Mr. Wade.
I have a copy of the economic report that was submitted to MoDOT. Did you base the sales tax figures starting with 2012?
I started with 2013, okay. Except for the construction sales tax.
which does start in 12.
Is that 94? So that's not.
So these are construction numbers.
Okay.
Construction sales tax numbers. When you buy steel or you buy, when you buy any materials that you're using, even if I buy drywall to put up a building, I got to pay sales tax on it. So all of the materials will be taxed, and we will have our contractors do point of sale, the address, so the taxes will be collected here. It's a standard smart procedure when you're building in a community that you love.
That answer your question?
It does, and I'll put a sticker on that so the panel can see that if you want the fiscal and economic draft impact that they submitted to MoDOT, if you like that. And I.
Thank you.
And I do have to say that I'm a little confused because we didn't give a draft to MoDOT. So I'm.
That's where I got it.
Okay. I guess I'd like to see it.
Question, David?
You stated you do have the two industries have letters of intent. Okay.
Yes.
I was just going to say, just maybe to clarify this a little bit more, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but I did speak with MoDOT today, and they had indicated that they had received a draft cost share application, and I believe that potentially this is the draft cost share application. It was my understanding in speaking with MoDOT representatives that a final cost share application would likely be submitted at the end of this year, if I'm not speaking out of turn.
I think you've got more information. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll close the public input session at this time and open it up for the board for their deliberation. I guess I'm beginning to hear that there are a lot of reports that have not been submitted in their complete nature for consideration, and I'm just wondering who's going to bear the burden of interpreting those reports and applying them to the land use.
In talking to MoDOT, the thing that's a little bit tricky with this is it's my understanding that this draft cost share application that was submitted includes both this first phase with the racetrack and also the second phase with these industrial uses as well. And so we've kind of got a situation where we really have a situation where this first phase has come through and a land use permit has been approved for it, but we haven't gotten approval for the second phase.
When you're talking about first phase, you are including the physical construction of the track.
Yes,
I thought I heard them say their first phase would not be with the track. I need to have some commonality of identification and description here.
I understand, and that may be an error on my part. That was the first phase the first piece of property, this 809 acres, was the first piece of property to have been, to have had a land use approval, a Division 3 approval through the Planning Commission. None of this second phase has come through the planning process in any way.
Okay, so we're going to have approval on the interchanges and all of the road structure and all of the other infrastructure before the track starts, or in that same phase, or how is this going? Or do they need to answer that for us? Bob, I don't want to put you on the spot with that.
I really feel that at the time that the Planning Commission approved the Division 3 permit with the conditions that it approved, that basically they wanted to see sufficient infrastructure in place for each use prior to or a certificate of conformance being issued or for that particular use. But to get more specific, they would have to answer more
specific
questions.
So we would see things like the track is there and the airport road is completed?
Essentially, as an example, prior to any certificate of conformance being issued, allowing for this track to become operational, and really prior to the issuance of Division 2 permits even, we would have to have some documentation from MoDOT really indicating that, that these factors were going to be in place, that these studies had been presented. One of the things that, that MoDOT's really going to want to see is a full traffic study showing exactly what the impacts are going to be, exactly what you're saying, what are going to be the necessary you know, infrastructure improvements as far as roadways and things of that nature.
Some of this stuff is just starting to sound like we're trying to herd a bunch of cats. And I'm wondering if it's getting a little bit out of hand or should we have a little more structure to the process?
I mean, before you're going to issue the permits, they're going to have these studies and stuff into place before you're going to issue the, before the planning and zoning is going to issue permits, correct?
That's correct.
And so, I mean, as far as like the traffic study and stuff like that and the other things that, that falls into it, not only the economical part of it, whatever, but these things have got to be in place before they're going to be able to move ahead with permits and stuff, correct?
You're correct. We would really have to have a lot of these sign-offs from these other organizations like MoDOT and like the Taney County Regional Sewer District.
EPA.
Exactly. All these various organizations before we're going to be able to get to the actual point of development. Really, with this initial Division 3 permit, they were granted approval for these land uses, but that's as far as they've gotten.
I mean, we won't see specifics until after if this is approved or disapproved one way or the other.
Bob, could you, according to the plat over there, can you identify the 809 acres that we're dealing with?
Yes, the 809 acres is actually the darker green shaded area. Let me grab my pointer here, sorry. It's actually the area here. I'm not pointing to it too well here. The second phase would really be here. And so really the second phase is not in question in any way today. It would strictly be this first phase with showing the three-quarter mile track and the road course.
Thank you. No further discussion. Would there be a motion that one would like to make?
Again, I'll make a motion to deny the appeal. I don't find any errors in Taney County Planning and Zoning's decision.
Motion been made to deny. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a second by Bob Hanselman. Any further discussion? Dave, how did you vote?
To deny.
Bob?
To deny.
Tom?
To deny.
And Chairman would also deny. Thank you. Uh,